to an American writer now, who, before he became a writer, held down the position of chief chicken fryer at Woody's Drive-In in Millport, Alabama. Sonny Brewer followed that job up with a stint in the U.S. Navy, singing six nights a week in a honky-tonk band, selling cars, building houses, managing a coffee house, and half a dozen other jobs. But in his spare time, Brewer was writing. And finally, one day, he quit his day job. That was four novels ago. Sonny Brewer made it as a writer, but he never forgot those early jobs. And he figured other successful writers didn't either. Thus was born his latest project, an anthology. 23 Southern writers all talking about the day jobs they once held. It's called Don't Quit Your Day Job. And we're joined now from Mobile, Alabama, by Sonny Brewer and by Winston Groom, one of the writers who contributed. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. Mr. Brewer, let me start with you.
Groom is my father.
Mr. Brewer is your father. Sonny, may I call you?
Please call
me. Mr. Groom is my father.
When you started calling around to Winston and the other authors who you were trying to recruit to write for this, tell me what your pitch was.
Well, I got on the phone to Winston and I and to William Gay, and I thought, you know, I said to William, would you write about hanging sheetrock in the hills of Tennessee before you were what Stephen King referred to as an American treasure laboring in obscurity in the hills of Tennessee? Would you write about hanging sheetrock up there? And he said, no, I'll write about working at the pinball factory, though. And I called Winston and I said, would you write about being a soldier under fire, an officer on the battlefield in Vietnam? And he said, well, yeah, I'll write about that. And then there was Silas House, who delivered the mail. There was George Singleton, who drove a garbage truck, and just on and on. And to a person, they immediately said, sure, I want to do that.
Well, Winston Groom, let me draw you in. I know a lot of our listeners will be familiar with the works that you've produced, Forrest Gump, among other novels. What attracted you to write for this collection?
Well, I think it was an opportunity to be able to write your memoirs and not have to take responsibility for it. Blame Sonny if it goes wrong. But, I like the idea. I never had thought about anything like that, but you are what you do. I think that your some experience in life is formed by all the things that you do, and work is most of it. I mean, as opposed to sleep or eat. And so I thought back, I've had a number. I didn't think I'd really had many jobs until I started looking back. And our first job I had was I was a newsboy when I was 12 years old. And from that, I learned I didn't like to get up early in the morning.
Valuable life lesson, yes.
And then I got a job with a construction company when I was in high school. We were athletes and trying to – everybody said, go get a job at a construction company because it's good for you to be in the outdoors and working hard and so forth. And I learned from that I didn't like to work hard. I liked manual labor. And then I was in the Army, and it was inexperienced. It was combat, sure. It's what infantry divisions do. And I actually, my first book was a novel called Better Times Than These, and it was loosely based on that experience. And that's what got me out of the newspaper racket, which I had been in, newspaper business in Washington. And that book sort of launched my career, and that was 30 years ago, and I haven't worked a day since.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, for a lot of people, you ended up a big city reporter at the now-defunct Washington Star here in Washington, D.C., and you write in your piece in this collection about how you knew for a fact a lot of the reporters in that newsroom had tucked away somewhere in some back drawer of their desk, the half-written manuscript of the great American novel they were going to write. Was it in part wanting to not be the guy who had the half-finished one in his desk drawer that made you want to quit?
Yeah, well, I think I said in my tale in Sonny's book that I think that there were a lot of these reporters. Of course, there were many hundreds of reporters at Star. And in their desk, if you look, you would find a package of Lucky Strike cigarettes and a brown paper bag with a bottle of Sequins VO and a half-finished manuscript of a novel. And I didn't want to wind up like that. It's very difficult to write. As a matter of fact, I tried it, to write fiction while you're working for the newspaper. It was a great place to work, but, you know, they had started paying you pretty well after I'd been there for about 7 or 8 years. And I got to thinking, you know, if I stay here much longer, I'm going to wind up, you know, with a mortgage and a car payment, and I'm going to be comfortable, and I'm going to do this the rest of my life. And do I want to do that, or do I want to try something else? And so I did.
The old advice every writer always gets is write what you know. How true do you think that is?
At a very basic level, of course, you have to know what you're writing about. Otherwise, it turn out nonsense. But having said that, I wrote a book, a novel one time called Only, from the point of view of an old English sheepdog. Now, how did I know what the old English sheepdog thought? I didn't. But I was able to make it up. And I will make it up with
and
what I
did. And who's to say you were wrong?
Yeah, well, that's right.
That sheepdog's not going to come correct you. That's one advantage.
No, the dog loved the book.
Although your first book, you mentioned, is about Vietnam, and you, I'm sure, drew on your experience there heavily. It would have been a very difficult book to write if you hadn't seen action there.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you need to. True.
So I suppose I should confess to both of you at this point that I came to this book with a particular interest. I quit my day job, my full-time day job at NPR a few months back in order to write to write a novel. So I want to ask both of you, any advice?
Don't quit your day job.
Too late. That's what my dad said. Any other advice?
Well, good luck. I'm sure it'll be a wonderful experience. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Well, I think when you write a novel, you know, there's something, there's commitment. And I know writers who employ different tricks, as it were. Bill Butterworth said, you know, he advised, you know, maybe stop in the middle of a sentence so that tomorrow when you finish that sentence that you knew how to finish when you stopped gets you going.
Yep.
Truman Capote said, just write something true. Doesn't matter whether it fits in the book or not, but if it's true that the wind is blowing and the sky is blue, there's a dog walking down your street, if you write that, it's just something you see out the window, something you're feeling, it'll move you along. Whatever works, you know, write the truth for a minute Then start lying.
Very convincing lying.
Advice from two masters of the craft. That's writers Sonny Brewer and Winston Groom talking about the new book, Don't Quit Your Day Job, acclaimed authors and the day jobs they quit. They've been speaking with us from Soundworks in Mobile, Alabama. Thanks to you both, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can read an excerpt from Winston Groom's essay at our website, npr.org.